Hey, this week I want to share with you our dream. And did you enjoy last week? Did you anybody get inspired out of that? And so what I thought I might do is maybe just kind of start again. Where are my glasses? Praise the Lord. Somewhere. Do I have them? Amen. Here we are. And talk about what I finished off with last week about the church that I see in 2015. So here we go. Let's talk about this for a minute. I said that this year, the theme of this year is a church that prays. And not that we don't pray. Trust me, there's a lot of prayer that goes on in this house. But we want to really put a real emphasis on prayer this year. We'll talk more about it in the weeks to come, about some times where we're going to encourage people to engage in prayer and fasting. And that is the theme for 2015. Leaning on God, depending on God like never before. Amen. Do you realize every time I give an altar call, every time I preach, I've never once just walked up here just going, man, I got this. There's this holy fear. There's this holy dependency. God, without you, this is nothing. We can't ever take for granted. We can't ever just get used to what God is doing and think that this is going to happen all the time. How many know we still need God? We still depend on God in Jesus' name. So what I talked about last week as I closed out was, I want us to be in 2015 talking about our dream, a church that is reaching the lost, populating heaven, and not just reaching the lost. The Bible says we are saved and we are called. But when people get saved, you know, we've got to help them understand their calling. In other words, restoring vision, people experiencing heaven on earth. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just to see them get saved, but to give them a vision for their God-given life, releasing them into their purpose, plundering hell, giving the devil hell, amen? And then releasing them to their God-given purpose and then revealing God's bride, the local church, as a beautiful bride to a lost and broken world, sweeping people into the kingdom, reaching all generations from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb. I don't want Wave Church to be just a young people's church. I don't want Wave Church to be a church just with old people in it. I don't just want to be a Wave Church to be a faith church or a word church or a worshiping church. I want to make sure that Wave Church is reaching to every age and every generation and everybody finds their part and how they can play in being the local church. A church that is united in its mission and its purpose. A church that brings heaven to earth through powerful praise and worship, bringing God's power into people's lives, seeing sickness healed, powerful and relevant and practical preaching of the Word of God that builds people's lives to help them stand strong in their God-given destiny. Ministering to all people's needs, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, talking about salvation. Soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Body, pertaining to your health and your wholeness. I want to make sure that we are an example to the greater church body to show how a local church can transform itself city and its community, showing love, grace, and forgiveness. God, let Wave Church be a church that shows love, grace, and forgiveness. Can somebody say amen? Seeing people baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, giving them all of the Word of God and all that God says in His Word, making it all available that they might live an empowered, Spirit-filled, and I might add, Spirit-led life. Never compromising the Word of God or confusing cultural holiness for biblical holiness. Let me just stop. I said that twice last week, and I want to stop again. Never compromising the Word of God. We're going to show love, grace, and forgiveness, but not at the expense of some sloppy love that reduces the Word of God so as not to actually dilute God's Word. Come on, someone say amen. I was watching on CNN this week and they were talking about the whole debate about same-sex marriage and they were talking about how that the evangelical church, that's us by the way, that the evangelical church is changing. And this is what they said, and they were saying it as a really positive thing. They were saying that, and I don't think it was positive, they said that even 70% of the evangelical church who are under the age of 30 believe that same-sex marriage is completely okay in Scripture. 70% of people under the age of 30. Can I tell you something? We will show love, we will show grace, and we will show forgiveness, and we will show acceptance. But we're not going to compromise the Word of God, confusing cultural holiness for biblical holiness. Come on, somebody say amen. A people whose minds are being renewed to His Word. A church who's focused globally, taking God's mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Anointed to do good works, adopting orphans, helping the widows, giving practical as well as spiritual solutions to the world in which we live and we are called to influence. The church, my friends, is the hope of the world. Can you say amen? And I finish with that, and let me tell you, that is the church I see. 2015, I actually got inspired writing down the kind of church that I believe the way church ought to be. Anybody receive that in Jesus' name? Everything we've ever said we've done, that we're going to do rather, we've done. And this week, I want to talk to you about our dream. I told you what our story is, but first, I want to give you some principles of vision or of dream casting. How many know it's important that you don't just have a vision, but you're able to communicate it? And I'm not just talking about the vision here of Wave Church, but maybe could I help you? Could I give some wisdom about how you can actually have a vision for your life and that how can you share that vision for your family, for your finances, for your health, for your business, for your purpose of why God put you on planet Earth? Do you know how to cast that vision? Do you know how to share that dream? And I just wrote down some things I've learned in my 33 years of being in church life that I think I've learned by leadership and observation that I know will help us. Number one, you got to understand that hope deferred makes the heart sick. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 12, that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Can I tell you, if you are continually talking to your spouse about, hey, our marriage is going to get better, and your spouse is saying, well, can we go see a counselor? Can I tell you something? If you agree to do it, then you never get around to doing it, then you're going to make that marriage sicker. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you're an employer and you keep promising an employee they're going to get a pay rise, but you never give them the pay rise. If you talk about we're going to give you a promotion and you never give them promotion, can I tell you, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You can have an organization that is functioning externally, but internally there's a sick culture when hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you keep talking about you're going to do bigger and greater things, but you never get around to doing the bigger and greater thing, then hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you talk about, I got a vision for your life to lose weight, and you keep putting off when you're going to start the diet, then you actually make your own heart sick. You're adding to the lack of health by hope, by deferring the very thing where there's hope. Come on, someone say amen. And so I want to encourage us to understand that principle. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Number two, which is a follow-on from this, you've got to learn how to understate and overperform. And I'm a great believer in this principle. I think it's really important that we actually understate the things that we want to do and overperform. That's not to say that we shouldn't have a big vision, but as we're working our way toward that vision, we make sure that we're doing things that we can accomplish. We make sure that we know, again, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you are overstating and underperforming, there's going to be a sick culture. No one's going to buy into that vision. The family, the finance, the business, whatever it is. So you got to understand that there's a principle of understating and overperforming. In other words, have the vision, let it be big, but be somebody who is strategic about what are the next steps we can take that are going to stretch us, but we know we can get there. Come on, someone say amen. Number three, you've always got to start with the end in mind. Habakkuk 2:2, then the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he who runs can read it. Here's the thought, you've got to start with the end in mind. You know, 60 years ago, I stood on this property of the corner of Great Neck and Old Donation. And I got to tell you, everybody was saying to me, are you going to stay here at Great Neck or are you going to go to Seaboard? At the time, I knew that we'd have both. At the time, I knew we'd have churches in seven cities of Hampton Roads. At the time, I knew we'd be starting in L.A. But, you know, understate over perform. So what do we do? Number one, we just said, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to reach lost people. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the cringe factor out of church, because if we're going to be a church that's large and transforming our community, you've got to make all the things that make people cringe when they bring their friend to church. Like, God, please don't let him do that today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so here's what I did. Understate, overperform. You always got to start with the end in mind, but it doesn't. Joseph went around telling everybody his dream, and his brothers wanted to kill him. And just because you got the end in mind doesn't mean you share it all at once. You build some success and some credibility and some trust and some buy-in, and then you understand. But you always got to have the end in mind. There's the elephant, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you got to have a big vision. Come on, someone say amen. You got to have the end in mind. What does that marriage look like? What does that business look like? What is the vision you have for your health, for your finances, whatever it is? You got to have a picture, because the bottom line is obstacles, what you see when you take your eyes off your dream. And you got to have a big dream. Amen. Write it down, the Bible says. Here's the next thought. Break it down to achievable steps. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain. If you're still trying to explain what your vision is 20 minutes later and people are looking more confused and you're sounding more confused than when you first started, I'm not saying it's not a great vision, but it's not yet written down in a way that's plain. It's easy to understand. And a God vision, a real vision, is a vision that's clear. That you've actually figured out how to communicate it in an uncomplicated way. Make it plain. That's the hard work of vision. It says on tablets, so that he who may run can read it. In other words, you got to break it down in some achievable steps. How do you eat the elephant? The elephant's the end in mind. How do you eat it? One bite at a time. Come on. Number five, listen to this. Principle. Is this helping anybody? Principles about casting your dream, communicating your vision. Listen to this one. Communicate, communicate, communicate. And when you're done communicating, communicate, communicate, communicate. And then when you say, how many times do I have to say it? Obviously a lot more than you have. Because we all leak. Vision leaks. And we all got to keep getting focused, because obstacles are what you see when you take your eye off the dream. And so you got to keep saying it until people are rolling their eyes back in their head. Here she goes again. Here he goes again. Maybe it's about the marriage. Maybe it's about the family. Maybe it's about the business. Maybe it's about your finances, your health. It doesn't matter what it is. You got to have a vision. It's got to be a big vision. It's got to be a God vision. It's got to be written down. It's plain. It's simple. It's easy to understand. People can run with it. And what are the next steps I can take that's going to get me toward the elephant? And I'm going to take it one bite at a time. And then when you hear it being repeated back to you how you said it, and when people are rolling their eyes, then and only then are you beginning to scratch the surface of people getting a hold of that vision. Is this helping anyone? All right, number six, a vision or a dream must be compelling. It must be compelling. In other words, there's got to be this sense of where there's ownership. There's a sense of buy-in. There's a sense of where it's not borrowed, but it's something that you wake up in the morning and you are owning it for yourself. Come on, amen. It's got to be compelling. There's got to be something about it that causes you to say yes to it, that causes you to make sacrifice toward it. At the end of the day, your vision's to get out of bed, you're going to do that. Your vision's to brush your teeth, you're going to do that. There's got to be something compelling about it. There's got to be this sense of urgency, sense of God, a sense of holy awe. I remember when God called Sharon and I to pastor Wave Church. And I remember I said to Sharon, it was 17 years ago, I said, honey, the door is open for us to come and to pastor a church in the United States. It's always been my dream. Anyone who knew me knew that was part of my life. Mark has known it as long as we've known each other. And Sharon used to go, yeah, whatever. But the day came when the opportunity allowed us to come. And I'll never forget what Sharon said. She goes, I'm not going. You got to realize she's like a fifth or a sixth generation Australian girl. Her whole family, her whole life, everything she's ever known was Australia. And she goes, I don't want to go to America. It's too big. And if we got up, you know. Now, Sharon's grandmother is still alive. And Alyssa, our daughter, that's her great-grandmother. Now she's expecting. And now that little boy called Jax is going to have not just a grandmother and a great-grandmother, but now a great-great-grandmother. So we're talking Sharon's family and generations are really strong. And I remember God clearly said to me, Steve, I've called you to pastor a church in the United States. And I said, God, that's cool, but Sharon won't have a bar of it. And as long as that's the case, it's your problem, not mine. Speak to her. She hears from you better than I do. And I wouldn't dream of going to pastor a church in the United States without a sense of it being compelling, not just for me, but for her. Because I knew there'd be days when there'd be high tide, and I knew there'd be days when there's low tide. I knew there'd be days of breakthrough, and I knew there'd be hard days. And I didn't want in the hard days to have Sharon turn to me and say, well, this was never my idea anyway. I said, God, she's a godly woman. You talk to her. I ain't going. I'm not being disobedient, but I wouldn't go without the support of my spouse. Do you know, literally now, I'm not kidding you, within a week, God really spoke to Sharon and said, Sharon, this is an opportunity. You can stay in Australia and I'll bless you there. But God said, this is an opportunity to make your mark, to make your difference. And I've called you to go to the United States to build the kind of church that really could be unique and could be a blessing. And Sharon goes to me, she rang me up and she goes, I'm doing it. I said, you're doing what? She goes, we're going to America. Can I tell you, a God dream, a God vision, as you cast it, there's got to be something about it that causes people to work their way through the hard time and through the obstacles, not just going, this is my off-ramp, this is my exit. No, no, no. We're going to push through the valley, and we're going to go from mountaintop to the valley to the mountaintop, but there's something compelling that makes people want to buy into it in Jesus' name. Come on, give a lot of hands. You got to be willing to wear the restraint of that vision. Okay, now this is where you roll your eyes. How many have heard me quote this scripture, if not 10,000, 1,000 times? Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. You got no vision for your life? Do what you want. You got no vision for your life, no drive? You know, get out of bed and don't work's optional. Why work? You know, you got no vision for your life? One day's as good as the next. You got no vision for your health? Eat what you want. But with a vision, you put on the restraint of that vision. I went and saw that movie the other night called American Sniper. Man, that movie is incredible. And, you know, I watched it and I looked at these guys, these Navy SEALs, who the training of Hell Week and the training to be what they are. And let me tell you something, they had a vision to do it. And many of them, all they had to do was ring the bell, and no longer they were casting off the restraint of that vision. But the ones who really had the vision to do it didn't ring the bell. They pushed through the pain mentally, physically, emotionally. And let me tell you, you see a guy like that who accomplished what he accomplished in his life, and all I can say is Michael Moore is the greatest idiot on the planet Earth today. And Seth Grogan, you know, I guess the United States military is not asking me to be their spokesperson, but all I can say is they just might want to think about thanking the United States military for giving even them the freedom to express dishonoring opinions about our military. And thank God we live in a country where there is freedom of speech and freedom. And actually, it was the military that gave people, idiots like them, the freedom to express their opinions. I'm just saying. You see, the truth is you got to wear the restraint of the vision. Amen? So if you want to lose weight, you're going to restrain where you eat and what you eat. Amen. I was in the hospital last night till 10 o'clock last night with my son. And when I got home, I realized I hadn't eaten anything pretty well all day. And I was still working on my message because I spent the whole afternoon there rather than at home working on this. And all of our team, and they were all waiting for me. I said, guys, I'm sorry. I've got to be here with Josh. And when I got home, I started working on it and I realized I haven't eaten. So I rang Sam, who was on his way home. I said, Sam, can you stop and grab me something to eat? And he says, what do you want? I said, Arby's, roast beef sandwiches. And he brought them home. And I sat there and looked at those two roast beef sandwiches, and all of a sudden this thought about wearing the restraint of your vision. And that is to be healthy and not just to keep eating junk food all the time. And I looked at these two roast beef sandwiches. I took a bite out of it and I went, no, I got to wear the restraint of my vision. I'd rather go to bed hungry than eat this right now. So I gave it to my dogs and they loved it. Praise the Lord. They had Arby's as a snack. Amen. Here's the thought. I want to give you keys to casting vision. Here's what you do. Discipline isn't the key. Vision is. I've had so many people say, I just need more discipline with my finances. I just need more discipline with my time. If I could just be more disciplined, I could do more. Can I tell you something? It's never a discipline issue. It's always a vision issue. If you have vision for what you want to do, then you wear the restraints of that vision. In other words, discipline is consequential. Listen, discipline is not a goal. It's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of vision. When the vision is bigger and clear and tangible, and there's things that you can do today that'll help you get there. Come on, is it helping anybody? All right, so discipline is not the key. It is vision. Number 9, and this one here to me, is perhaps the most subtle and the most threatening of every person in this room. It is the most, actually, the thing that I think can get a hold of every one of us, including every great leader, every great visionary, and this is it. We must be willing to get out of our comfort zone. Listen to this. People will never move from where they are. Listen to this. And never move from, people will never move from where they want to go until they become dissatisfied with where they are. People will never move, listen to this, to where they want to go until they're dissatisfied with where they are. We've got to resist mediocre. We've got to resist status quo. Listen to this. We got to communicate the what, the why, the how, and the when. Some people go, amen, sounds like a good vision, sounds like a good dream, but you've got to help them actually be willing to move. Because if they're comfortable, can I tell you, you got to make sure that you are willing to resist the status quo. Amen. So our story shows a track record of integrity, of diligence, and accomplishment. How many would agree with that? Okay, on to our dream, because that's our story. But here's the dream. Here's what they are. Number one, we will always be a church that reaches lost people. Wave Norfolk. I'm so proud of what they're doing. Wave Richmond, Jared and Alyssa in Wave Norfolk, Kino and Megan Paraiso in Wave Richmond. I got to tell you something. They are there to reach lost people. And I'm so proud of them. They're growing. They're exploding. This morning you heard Joe tell Great Neck, at least, that Sharon this morning is in Los Angeles. So she won't be at Meet Steve and Sharon because she's in Los Angeles. But here's the bottom line. Listen to me. I want to encourage you that everything we do is to reach lost people. That is heaven's priority. If you read Luke chapter 16 and Luke chapter 17, Jesus tells 5 parables back to back. But I've never heard anybody quote the parables in all 5. They either quote the 2, the first 3 rather, or the last 2, but they never put them together. But they are sequential. They are together. Chapters in the Bible have divided them, but the Bible wasn't written in chapters. And they're the first 3 chapters. The first one is the parable of the lost coin. The second one is the parable of the lost sheep. And the third one is the parable of the prodigal son. And we see from those parables that Jesus is saying heaven's like this, and heaven's priority is reaching lost people. But the next 2 parables that are never quoted in the context of where they belong is about the parable of the shrewd business guy that used money to reach people. And the last one is the rich guy and Lazarus, and the rich guy goes to hell and Lazarus the beggar goes to heaven. And the Bible is trying to teach us in those parables that if we do not see heaven's priority being lost people, and then if we are not willing to use our assets, our income, our resources, our skills to reach them, let me tell you something, we'll have failed the purpose of heaven. And I want to tell you, everybody here has a responsibility to make sure it is the mission of your life to reach the unchurched people and to use your skills and your God-given talents to see to it. And that's what those parables are about. The rich man went to hell because he never used his wealth, his affluence, or his influence. He just made his blessing all about himself. God wanted to bless him. God would bless him. But when he just made it all about him, he lost his place in heaven. That's strong. In other words, heaven's priority is lost people. As long as Sharon and I are called to pastor Wave Church, let me tell you something, that will always be the priority of Wave Church. But number two, it's discipleship. In other words, it's not just saved, but help people get their calling. I love the fact there are people here who believe God's called them to be in business and education. I love the fact that there's a single mom and a single dad, and you believe your purpose is to raise up your kids in the house of God and to provide for them. I love the fact there are people here who believe God's called them to be an athlete. The goalkeeper of the Norfolk Admirals, who was part of Wave Norfolk, just recently got an opportunity to play NHL hockey, or not NHL, but to play for Canada with Calgary, and he's gone from little old Norfolk Admirals to now one of the major hockey teams. And let me tell you, his life has enlarged and increased. But our goal is to help him understand that's God's purpose for his life. And it's not just to be famous. It's not just more money, of which there's plenty of that. It's for a purpose to reach and use your skill and your talent to reach others. I love the fact there are people here in science and medicine, in our military, and what you see is your, and we want to help you fulfill what God's called you to do, and we got to help disciple you in that. That's why we've got the journey 101, 201, and soon 301 to help Christians grow in the maturity of what God's called them to do. That's why we have connect groups. That's why we've got departments, and we're wanting to help people find God's will for their life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, the third thing I believe that we're going to be doing is making sure we stay on mission. And on mission, I mean by Wave Church, what we're going to do is we're going to stay on TV. I promise you, I could do without it. I promise you, I'm not there for my ego. We're not there trying to, you know, make Wave Church famous or look for a platform for me to speak on. I know when God called me to pastor a church in America, three times in a dream over 15, 20 years, I was carrying a television in my arms. I always thought that was because I worked for radio rentals. But no, God showed me in the dream that the purpose of that is not only would you pastor a church, but you will go beyond the four walls of this church. And the message that the Lord wants me to speak is a message that will speak to not just the United States, but around the world. And what God is doing in and through Wave Church can be an example to the body of Christ and can reach more lost people. Let me just tell you this. There are a lot more people watching right now on CBS Channel 3 live right now as I'm speaking. Not live in the service, but a recorded show. Right now, there are literally at least 20,000 people watching this TV show this morning. Come on, give the Lord a hand. And then we have the opportunity around the world. I've heard stories about a certain person in the military, a very high ranking, who used to come down the Hampton Roads and watch Wave TV, and then at times would meet with President Bush. And I heard the story repeated back to me that this person told President Bush, I go to this church and this pastor said this, and I think it's going to help you, President. He just watched it on Wave TV. I got a phone call this week. Would I go and have lunch with a man called Mark Burnett? Anybody heard of Mark Burnett? He's the number one producer in the United States right now. He does Shark Tank. He did Survivor. He's done, help me out here now. I'm having a blank. Son of God series. And you know, that movie Son of God, when it was on television, literally had 100 million people watching it every week here in the United States. And then apparently, I'm told by his staff, I said, how did you even hear about me? Why did you want to have lunch with me? And they said, there has been a movie producer that flows in and out of your church based on his job and loves you. You're the church called Wave Church with 7 campuses. You just started your most recent one, because I actually thought they had the wrong guy, to tell you the truth. What am I doing here meeting with this guy? And they said, and we've heard all about you, and Mark wanted to meet with you and actually ask you to go to Nicaragua with him and be part of an opportunity to partner with other ministries, and wants to know who you are and what you're doing. Can I tell you something? God is our publisher. God is our promoter. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Church planning will always be a major part of who we are. I'm so glad that Sharon this morning is in Los Angeles. I do feel for her a little bit. We only got in last week on Saturday from 5 weeks being in Australia. We were home for two nights and then went up to Washington, D.C. for our staff retreat. Then she was home for one night, put her on a plane to Los Angeles. When she gets home tomorrow, I get on a plane on Wednesday, go to Texas. Praise the Lord. Here's my theory. Keep traveling. Jet lag doesn't know where you are. I love the fact that we're going to be starting a church in New York City. That's the place where I was born. And I felt like when I was 8 years old, I said, God, I'm coming back here one day. I didn't realize it was to redeem what drove our family out of the United States. Both my parents being alcoholics and shame for their life and their lifestyle. I feel like there's a redemptive purpose to all of that. I already know who the person is going to plant the church. They're already being trained right here in our team. And when we've done with LA where it's self-sustaining, we will then release the funds to go to New York City. I know there'll be a church in Florida. I know there'll be other churches in the seven cities of Hampton Roads. There will be a Wave Church. And we're starting this year with Chesapeake in Jesus' name. Uganda. Without a doubt, we want to continue to work as we've planted the church in Sudan. Isn't that amazing? Wave Church has helped plant a church in Sudan, partnering with Watoto in Uganda. And I love what's happening with Watoto, with the baby bulrushes and little infants, literally 1 day, 2 day old babies, literally moms who don't want to bear the responsibility of raising this child. They got enough poverty of their own. Literally leave a baby in a drain, in a gutter, in the open street. And then along comes Watoto, picks up these babies, puts them in a hospital in their own on-facility site, and then help give them education, help give them schooling, rescue child soldiers from Joseph Kony, and give them a better day and a bigger vision of what their life can be. There's a whole village of 2,000 people that live on property with housing. Come on! Give them skills for life. Teach them how to be self-sustained. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. The Russian orphanage, Bill Tehanchuk. Dear Bill Gay, what would he do to me if I ever stopped? I'm afraid he'd find a way to come back from heaven and haunt me. And Bill said to me, Steve, I want to tell you about what we're doing in this orphanage with mentally handicapped children, children that the Russian government don't want anything to do with. Any church or any organization, keep passing them up. Oh, we don't want to deal with just the handicap. And so I said, Bill says, can we take them on? I said, Bill will adopt them and I will continue to keep sponsoring and giving working in that orphanage in Russia because I call it the Bill T Orphanage. I know it's got another name, but I don't know what it is. I just know it as the Bill T Orphanage. In Israel, I want to keep working with Richard Frieden in not just Jerusalem, but even in Tel Aviv. And I want to see God do more for us in Israel. I'm not looking to back out of Israel. I'm looking to increase what we're doing in Israel. Anybody say amen? Wave City Care. Let me tell you, we now have the funding to finance the support of the Strength Young Men program. Shine Girl has been amazing. The effect it's had, the One Life mentoring, the reading, the back to school, the feeding, the education, adopting a block. But one of the greatest challenges, these young boys. The girl program's been so successful. We got to help these young boys to give them a vision bigger than just getting them to jail. Self-esteem, pour into them some confidence and Wave City Care. How many excited we got the funding for that this year? Humanitarian aid around the world. Well, it's not the one I pray for, let me tell you. That's when there's a disaster somewhere in the world. We as a church will rally and support and actually give finances as the occasion calls for it. And thank God we've been able to do that through through Wave Church. Well, here's some good news. I already told you about this last week. We actually now have the funding as well to be able to say to Sharon, hey, let's go find a place for that vision you have for the transition home for women. And these next weeks and months, you'll hear more about that. And then, of course, we're believing God for Norfolk and for Richmond. Both are exploding. Neither one of them really has a whole lot more room where they are. And we don't want to make hope deferred makes the heart sick. We want to give them the opportunity to find more permanent facilities rather than just a rented venue on the day that we turn up. But being there 24/7. Come on, someone say amen to that. Congratulate them. They're amazing. Well, I got to close. How do we accomplish this dream? What can we do in 2015 that'll help get us? How many think that's a big dream? Amen. How do we do it? How do we get there? Number one, with prayer. Church, we need us to be praying. Number two, with your participation. Don't just be somebody who comes to Wave Church and say, I go to Wave Church and that's a great church, which it is. But go say, I go to Wave Church and that's my church. Amen? There's a big difference between the two. Where you are participating, where you're using your God-given talents and skills to help achieve all that the Lord's called us to do. But number three, it's going to take people to be willing to become financial leaders. In other words, to sow financially into this vision. Now, the reason why I told you our story last week is I've wanted to let you know again, everything we've ever said, anything we've ever said, we've done, we've done. We're not that church where people give money and wonder where did all that money go to. You can see it right here in this beautiful facility. You can see it by the additional parking. You can see it with the Epicenter. You can see it in Seaboard Road. You can see the building, the land, everything we've ever said, we've done. We have gotten this year, this far, by people's faithfulness, by willing to be financial leaders. And it's through people being kingdom people. And it's through people being centurions. It's through people being willing to be in the army of faithful believers. I hold in my hand, and I wonder if everybody, just for a moment, might just please work with me. And would everybody grab one of these cards? Please, everybody grab one. Every person, not just the husband and wife, but everybody take a hold of this. And let's look at this, because this is Wave Foundation. And I'm not going to ask you today to make this commitment. We've already talked to all of our key business people and leaders in the life of our church. But we don't want anybody to miss out on the opportunity of being a financial leader. Here's what we want you to do. We do this every year. That people would pray and ask God, what could you give, listen to this, over and above your tithe? If you just use your tithe or reduce your tithe to give to this, you're not really helping. I'd rather you just tithed. Are you with me here? This is over and above your tithes and offerings, where you will commit finances, a specific dollar amount, and you would say to Wave Church, and you would say to the oversight of Wave Church, you can count on me giving this amount of money in these next 12 months. You with me here? And I know what some people do. Some people go, well, I tried to do it last year and I wasn't able to do quite what I thought I was going to do, and I feel a little embarrassed, and so I just want to give in the offerings this year. Can I tell you something? What does the Bible say? Write down the vision. Make it plain. Though it tarry, wait for it. I promise you, I'm not sweating it. If you had a good heart and a good intention and you had a bad year, you had something happen to you, don't suddenly cop out of the vision. Don't suddenly buy out of the vision. Just go, well, that year's behind me, but I'm believing next year will be a better year. Come on, someone say amen. Don't just go, well, I tried and it didn't quite come off. Come on, let's have a vision. And the Bible says, write down the vision. It's got to be, there's something powerful about a written down vision. That's what we're asking people to do. In this area of your life, what vision do you have to resource God's house? Amen? Do you know, last year I had one of our speakers in one of our breakfasts say to me, has anybody ever written a check, Steve, for $1 million? And, I didn't know how to answer him, because a check for $1 million. Nobody's ever written a check for $1 million. And one time somebody said, Steve, you got $925,000 for the phone tower. There it is. I said, no. What is it about $1 million you didn't understand? $925,000 is not $1 million. And so some people over a course of individual checks have given that amount, but no one check. And so just before I went on vacation, somebody in our church said to me, Pastor Steve, you'll never be able to say no one's given you a check for $1 million anymore. Isn't that amazing? And I said to that person, thank you so much. And they said, no, the joy and the privilege is all mine. Can I encourage everybody here? Listen to me. For one person to give $1,000 over this next 12 months would be a big sacrifice. And yet for another person to give $100,000 would be the same sacrifice. Because it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to get the singers, musicians to come on back, because I need to close out this message. But I want to finish it with this thought. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, from whom the whole body is joined together and knit together by what every joint supplies. Look at me now, everybody. Norfolk, Richmond, Seaboard, here at Great Neck. The Bible says every joint is to supply. The body, everybody supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share.
Come on, someone say amen. And we've already talked to all of our kingdom people, our centurions. We've met with a lot of them. And we've already talked to our business and leaders in our house. But now it's time to talk to the whole church. We want every joint to supply. How do we achieve this vision? By you seeing yourself as a financial leader. By making a commitment. What you do is you say, God, you can count on me. And what we can do as an oversight is we can then know what people have gotten a written down vision of what it is in their heart to give. And then we're able to make certain decisions about cash flow and about projects and about initiatives, knowing that people have said, this is what they're able to do. Are you with me here? It's important that it's a written down vision. Let's not be worldly. Let's not like be the cell phone company. I'll pay more money to not have to make a commitment. That's how cell phone companies are getting people to do things nowadays. Listen, we're not conforming to this world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is a biblical principle, even in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul showed it, didn't he? Okay? And so I'm going to ask everybody, not today, unless you've already got it ready, then we'll have our ushers standing at the doors as we did in the first service. And if you want to give it today, you can email it in. You can do whatever you want to do. But we're going to receive over the next two Sundays, next Sunday and the Sunday after, everybody that calls Wave Church your church home, everybody can and should do something. Can you say amen? Who believes? And how many say, you can count on me, Steve. I'm in this. I'm going to help resource that dream and that vision in Jesus' name. Can I get a show of hands seriously now? Who's with me and say, we're in, Pastor. And I'm going to ask you to take a hold of this vision, to own it. And remember, whatever you do, whatever you help make do for God, God will make happen for you. Amen. Do you receive it? Come on, give a Lord a hand if you receive it.